Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, with laundry room designs meant to bring calm to everyday routines. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. When you are very little, just learning to walk, you are surrounded by wonder and discovery. You just want to experience all of it, even if you don't quite know how all the parts work, what fingers do, what's safe to eat. That's exciting enough as a human, and it's just as thrilling when you are a 500-pound baby elephant. Ever since his birth in last November, Jet, an Asian elephant calf, has been spending most of his time with his mom, Jade, figuring things out in a private wooded section of the zoo. But he'll be making his public debut in just a few weeks. It'll be a big step for little Jet, who is still learning his way around the world. And here to talk about this very big, very adorable baby, I'm joined by the zoological manager at the St. Louis Zoo's River's Edge, Katie Pilgrim-Kloppy. Katie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks, Elaine. Thank you for having me on today.
Sure. Now, Katie, Jet was born late last year. This was November, but he hasn't been seen publicly. Why is that?
Yeah, we knew that Jade, who is a first-time mom, was probably going to need a little bit more time to kind of get acclimated to motherhood. She has done phenomenally well, but we just wanted to kind of go at their pace. We take a lot of close observations of their interactions and, how they're bonding, and then kind of even introducing them to other members of the elephant group. And so that process has taken a little bit of time. And it's also, he was born over the winter, so we wanted to make sure that the temperatures were appropriate for him to be outside. But he's been exploring a lot of new areas recently. And in fact, some of our guests at the St. Louis Zoo have actually gotten some sneak peeks of him.
Oh.
Because the Elephant Woods area actually is surrounded by our Emerson Zoo Line radio. So we've had a few people actually spot him out there as he's kind of exploring new areas.
Mm-hmm. Have there been any milestones that you all have been looking for as indications that he is ready to make that public debut?
Yeah, I think looking at his own personality, is he an elephant that's kind of more timid and shy, or is he more bold? We've definitely been noticing, I think he's more on the latter side, just kind of a bold, spunky, I'm ready to explore everything and just run headfirst at it. In fact, he did that one of the first times we put him outside to a habitat. He ran straight to a pile of rocks and had to figure out how to climb over them.
Mm-hmm.
He did it recently the other day with a large log in his Elephant Woods habitat too. but he's taking life headfirst, just going straight into things. And Jade has been really good about letting him explore, but staying close enough nearby that she can respond if he needs help with anything.
Mm-hmm. How much has Jet grown? We mentioned 500 pounds. From the time he was born to now, I mean, how much development has happened?
He's literally doubled in weight. We actually got his first weight at about 10 days old. Mm-hmm. We got him on a little scale, and he measured in at about 262 pounds. So that was his first recorded weight. And it sounds like the keepers this morning weighed him again, and he's already 541 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Big baby, as we said.
Yes.
So it seems like Jet is still getting the hang of walking and climbing. Is that typical for an elephant calf of his age?
Absolutely. They have to figure out just how to get their feet coordinated when he's walking versus when he's running. Like I said, learning to climb on stuff. He has a few kind of items in his private bedtime stall that he's been exploring and climbing on. And so kind of transferring those skills and, strengthening his body, he's been able to kind of climb over more stuff. And he certainly likes to just run. He likes to chase things. And one of the videos we sent out to our guests to kind of indicate his first acclimation of this habitat was him running back and forth between his mom and his aunt, his auntie C.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really likes to just go back and forth and move and active. And with all of that activity comes some very deep naps that he'll take in the afternoon.
Katie, you have worked with elephants for about 15 years now. And in watching Jet these last few months, Is there anything that stands out to you about how elephants raise their children? And do you see any similarities between the way elephants do that and humans do so?
Yeah, I think so. I've been around for now 3 elephant calves to watch them from being born to growing up. And each one of them has been very different. And some of them, like I said, different kind of personality types. With Jet, some of the keepers on the team have been just saying, yeah, he's definitely a little boy. Like, he likes to play and go and explore. Whereas Priya, one of our last elephants that we had born here, was just a very more shy, timid, really stayed close to mom and didn't like to explore or be as independent.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like, you know, a lot of the stages of his development and milestones are similar to a lot of people explaining how their kids have grown up. And, you know, they're first figuring out, like, oh my gosh, what is this in front of me? And it's my hand. And for Jet, like, learning to see how his trunk has developed and his muscles have built from just kind of being a trunk that's on the front of his face to being something he can actually use and pick up food. And he's also digging a lot. He's learned that from his Aunt C as well, how to, you know, kick up dirt and dust bathe. That's an important part of their skin and self-maintenance care. And so he's watching. I can see he's learning from others, and he definitely seems like he's still trying to, like, figure out how to get his feet and his coordination down. Sometimes he'll take a tumble, but he gets right back up and keeps going.
Mm-hmm. So using the trunk is not instinctual then? He has to actually see and learn it?
I think it's partly instinctual, but also, like, watching others, like, he'll start to develop kind of that strength. Their trunk has so many muscles in it, and it takes just a little time for that coordination to develop. Elephants use their trunks to drink water. They'll kind of suck it up like a straw and then blow it into their mouth. And so for him, we started seeing him just kind of using his trunk to splash around in water bowls, but it hasn't been until recently that we're actually seeing him be able to suck the water up and then squirt it into his mouth.
Mm-hmm. So the raising of Jet's mom, Jade, is here. To what extent are the other animals, you mentioned Aunt Sri, to what extent is raising an elephant sort of the job of a village of pachyderms?
It really does take a village. We also just want to make sure that Jade has the support that she needs. Like I said, Jet's been just very active. And so for her, getting a chance to let him engage and learn and interact with other elephants kind of gives her a little bit of a break to kind of relax as well. Jade was an elephant that had her own aunties here in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And so C played a vital role for Jade growing up. And now that she's here with Jade and Jet's here, she's able to help him kind of learn manners and also play. We see play engagement between the two. And so it's been really, really nice to see that they have those close bonds, that they're there to support each other and just to kind of keep an eye on the little guy. If he... We'll say it this way. If he gets himself into a sticky situation, the other day he was a little bit nervous. A log kind of scared him. He roared and made a vocalization call. And it was just really neat to see both Jade and C respond to that call, come over, and then kind of surround him. And that's what elephants do. They bring the baby in the middle and kind of protect him. So we see a lot of really cool behaviors naturally that they just know how to respond and kind of help each other take care of the little ones.
Mm-hmm. What does that call sound like?
Well, for him, it's been interesting. He's had a few really random noises, but it's kind of like a mini roar. And I think he's still learning to find his voice for sure.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything that you have learned from watching Jet?
I would say we always learn something from each elephant birth that we have. Each elephant calf development is different. And what's been really cool is just being able to collaborate with other facilities and other institutions and learn from them as well. I think for all of us at the River's Edge, it's been a really impactful birth because we have a lot of newer keepers that haven't been around for a birth or a calf growing up. And so to kind of watch even the staff learn professionally how to manage differently, to watch for different signs of, you know, as you mentioned, these milestones and kind of tracking that has been really, really neat. And we have that wide range of generations of elephants. We actually have 4 generations now here at the St. Louis Zoo, which is phenomenal. And we know that just having calves in the lives of elephants really can enhance their well-being. And so we do a lot of neonatal care, calf care, and we also have geriatric care here as well.
Mm-hmm. So when is it that Jet will make his public debut? Is there a date circled on the calendar?
Not an official date circled on the calendar yet, but we're very, very close. We've already made some, well, we call it baby-proofing, and I think people, when they have kids, they baby-proof their house as well. Mm-hmm. So we've had to make some modifications to some of our different habitats. But we have a habitat coming up that's nearly ready, and we're seeing lots of great progress with Jet and Jade and C out in our Elephant Woods area. And so we're very comfortable in taking that next step. So we'll probably have some private time just so that we can closely monitor them. But once we kind of see those signs from them that they feel really comfortable and sure of themselves, and he has explored every inch of that habitat, then I think we'll be ready to have guests come out and see him.
Mm-hmm. And people will be very excited to do so. Katie Pilgrim-Klopp is zoological manager at the St. Louis Zoo's River's Edge. And zoo visitors will soon be able to see baby elephant Jet. Katie, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. Before the break, we got an update on one of the St. Louis Zoo's newest residents, a baby elephant named Jet. Well, Jet's got some competition for the public spotlight. Early last month, the St. Louis Zoo announced that it was saying goodbye to polar bear Cully, who had been in St. Louis for 10 years. Cully's now at the Toledo Zoo in Ohio, where he'll start a new family with another polar bear. But St. Louis has gained not just one, but two new ursine inhabitants, twin polar bears, Kalik and Kalu, who've taken residence in the 40,000-square-foot abode that Kali once called home. Here to talk about that polar bear swap and how the twins are adjusting to their new digs is the St. Louis Zoo's curator of carnivores, Julie Hartel DiNardo. Julie, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
So, Julie, take us back to 10 years ago. You just joined the carnivore team at the St. Louis Zoo when you met Cully, the polar bear. And this was a big moment for you and for the zoo's polar bear program, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was very exciting. When I joined the team, we were just finishing up construction on our McDonald Polar Bear Point habitat, which was opened in 2015. That habitat is about 40,000 square feet, and we were working really hard to update our facilities to meet new husbandry standards and investing in the species care. The neat thing about the habitat, it has three kind of biome areas. There's a grassy area, sandy area, and a rocky area. And then within that rocky area, we have about 55 gallons of salt water in two pools for the bears. And so we are wrapping the construction up on that. And then Cully was going to be our first inhabitant of this brand new space.
Was there anything you did to make it his own, that the two new bears are kind of navigating in a different way?
It's always interesting because every animal is an individual. So even the two new boys are exploring the space and using the space differently than each other. So Cully investigated it maybe a little bit different and on his term, and these two are doing their own thing, but even their own thing is different for Kalik than it is for Kalu.
Mm-hmm. So over the 10 years that Cully was at the St. Louis Zoo, what was it like to watch the public get to know and love that bear?
Oh, wow. Yeah, he was a very charismatic individual bear. And he had adoring fans from the day we opened up McDonald Polar Bear Point. There was huge crowds to watch him, but he had definitely gained a lot of fans throughout the St. Louis area, myself and my children included. And we had a good time watching him grow and kind of learn different things in the habitat and grow from. He was about the same size as Kalik and Kalu are now when he got here about 10 years ago. And so now, and then when he left, he was about 1,300 pounds. And so watching him over those years kind of grow, and all of the people who kind of really became attached to him, got to know him, would make, you know, visits just to see Cully and to see what he was doing that day. It was really special.
Yeah. So you and your family came to love him, as many others did, and you spent a decade with Cully. Was it difficult to say goodbye to him?
Absolutely. I think it's one of those things about our jobs that we care very much so for these animals, and sometimes the decisions that we make that are in the best interest of that animal can sometimes be hard on us as humans who grow attached to them. And so by all means, it was hard on me as an individual and my family to say goodbye to him, but we also find a lot of joy in the possibility for Cully to contribute to the polar bears and zoos, accredited zoos, and the future potential for his offspring to exist in this population and to be part of the population moving into the future. And so it's one of those bittersweet things of we really want what's best for him, but there's a part of us that really wants to keep him to ourselves too. Mm-hmm. But we really try to make sure that we make the right choices for not just that individual, but also the population as a whole. And this is a great opportunity for Cully to meet a female and explore behaviors he's never had an opportunity to do so before, and potentially have some offspring to carry on his legacy.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk now, Julie, about these two new polar bears. They are twins, Cully and Kalu. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, you
okay.
are.
Okay. And they're settling in here now. Their mom is a polar bear named Crystal. That's Crystal with a C. She's the polar bear that Cully has been paired with in Toledo. Why did you all decide to bring two of them, two of these bears, to St. Louis?
Yeah, so with polar bears, their natural history, or how their families kind of operate, is at about 2 years of age, the adult female, or the mom, she's going to start kind of chasing off those youngsters and trying to make herself available for another breeding opportunity. And so Toledo had started separating the two boys from their mom at that point, and that's part of the natural process for them as Crystal's getting ready for another breeding season. The reason that it worked out well for them both to come here is even though the mom might chase off the offspring from that year, those offspring will often spend time together for another couple of years, kind of still hunting together and exploring together and growing up together. And so to keep them together was really good, I think, for their psychological well-being and also their stage of growth that they're at right now.
Yeah. Earlier, you had described Cully as being charismatic. What is your impression so far of Kalu and Cully? I mean, does one of them have some of that charisma that you saw with Cully?
Yeah, they both do, but in different ways. And so it's very interesting to kind of, they've not been here long enough for me to kind of get to know a lot about them. And at this age, obviously, a lot's going to change. We all change as we grow. But they're different in their charisma at this point. I think Kalu is a big bear that likes to play in the pool. He does a lot of somersaults in the pool. He really likes to throw the enrichment around, and so that's very dynamic and very, very active. But he's also going to take longer naps, I think, than Kalik. And so Kalik tends to be a little bit more active. He's exploring more parts of the habitat. He's not so pool focused as Kalu is at this point. But again, it's still really new to them, and they're still really new to us. So these things, I feel like, can change based on how they settle in and also just their growth and as they mature.
Mm-hmm. You said Kalu is throwing his enrichment around. What do you mean by enrichment? Is this food or...
Oh, good question. Yeah. So enrichment is something that we provide in zoological settings for animals. And there can be lots of different types of enrichment. And so the type that I'm talking about is like large toy type items. And so you'll see we give them balls and different types of large plastic items or different types of objects for them to play with. But other types of enrichment that might not be so obvious will be scents. Polar bears are incredibly olfactory or scent oriented species. And so offering the opportunity to smell different things, we might not see it, but for a polar bear, that's like reading a magazine or a really, really good book to explore different scents in their environment. Mm-hmm. And we'll also do different types of enrichment that's sensory. So ice piles or things for them to explore some natural behaviors. One of the really impressive natural behaviors for polar bears is they're an ambush hunter, which you'll see when they are ambushing a piece of prey in the wild, they'll smash the den, or they'll smash on the seal as he's coming up at an air hole. And our bears will really like to smash things as well. And so that's another natural behavior that will give enrichment to the bears, for them to kind of practice that natural behavior and have an opportunity to display that and guests also to see it.
Mm-hmm. To what extent, Julie, do these bears, that is, these two twins, how much do they remind you of Kali when he first arrived? You had mentioned that Kali was also 2 years old when he got to St. Louis.
They remind me a lot of him. And part of it is just the, I think with the time that Kali was here, you kind of forget how little they were when they get here, and also kind of what the personalities are for younger animals, and sort of a lot what Katie talked about with Jet, and how they are still kind of learning how to move around and how to interact with things, and what their likes and their dislikes are, and kind of settling into themselves. And so it's been fun kind of watching them just this first little bit, and looking forward to seeing them grow and get big too, just like Cully did at his time here.
Mm-hmm. Now, the habitat at the St. Louis Zoo is not the only program related to polar bears that you are involved with, Julie. You've actually gone out into the wild with a new program called the Wild Care Institute Center for Polar Bear Conservation. What was that experience like to go out into the wild?
Oh, wow. It was really moving for me to be able to go out and to see where polar bears live, see the habitat that they thrive in, to participate in different ways of the sensory environment that they have. It's really quite different than what we're used to here in St. Louis. And it was really special because we actually were able to see a polar bear in the wild this year, which was the first time we've ever done that in the 10 years that we've been participating in polar bear conservation in Alaska. So it was a really special trip for myself and for my travel colleagues as well.
Julie Hartel-DiNardo is the curator of carnivores at the St. Louis Zoo. Julie, thank you for being here and helping us to get to know Kalik and Kalu.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.